Probably traveling.
So say a prayer for them.
That they get home safely and they will be back with us next week. We want to hand out some bulletins and Bibles and some pens right off the bat here. Let's get those handed out. If you don't have one of those three items, raise your hand and there'll be some guys that come around and make sure we do get it. There's some fill in the blanks and stuff like that in those bulletins. As those are going around, I want to mention the prayer time. The Logan's been pretty good at mentioning it during his introduction to communion, but there was quite a few people there today. At 4 o'clock, we meet back here where we do for overcomers, and we'll start praying. I'm going to pray that this church draws people in, that God gives us the abilities to minister to those people, to thank Him for what He's already doing and what He's going to do. Man, if you're not a part of that, you really need to. And it's from 4 o'clock to 4:45, and you can come and go, and I usually pop in there because I have the rehearsal with the band and stuff. I usually pop in there and it's already going, and I sit down and I listen to a few prayers and I pray, and then I have to jump back up to greet people coming in. It's not something that you have to commit to before 4:45. Just come in and pray with us just for a minute. On another note, invite someone.
Let me do
to
it.
Church. Listen, Serenity Church, we don't have commercial on Channel 11.
Looks good.
You know,
we don't have billboards. Yeah, they look good.
Heck, we're working on getting a sign that we can put up out here, but right now we don't have a sign. So I got to think, how does anybody know that we even exist? And the only way that is through word of mouth. Can you tell somebody that we're here? And so, man, get the opportunity to talk about your church, to invite somebody to come with you. I know Saturdays at 5 o'clock, it's kind of weird. It's not Sunday morning church. Maybe that's attractive to someone. You never know unless you bring it up in conversation. I think we may still have a few of those cards back there. It's got a QR code on it where you can send them straight to the website. But if you don't, we'll try to get some more of those made. But still, just open up a conversation about your church. Ask somebody to come with you. So tonight, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And this is a message that I kind of struggled over a little bit. When God put it on me to talk about the Holy Spirit, I was kind of like, I don't really want to do that. There's stuff about the Holy Spirit I just don't understand. And so, gosh, the Lord is going to let me let it go. And so, through study and preparing this, I understand a little bit more. And I think it may be the whole point of it all, is for me to understand a little bit more. But preparing for this, for a week or so, 2 weeks, I knew I was going to talk about it. And so I went around and asked several people this question. What does praying in the Spirit mean? What does that mean? And I got several different answers. One of them was letting the Holy Spirit lead you to what's preferable. Letting the Holy Spirit lead your prayer life. What do I need to pray for? And the Holy Spirit leads you into that. Another one I got was praying for what God commands, for what God commands us to pray for. And when I heard that, I was like, what do you mean? We'll pray for your enemies. Praying for those things that you're just not going to pray for on your own. So you have to reach deep down in and grab hold of the Holy Spirit to pray for those things. The thing that came to my mind, and the one that I heard the most, is praying in tongues. And for me, all these things are right. They're all right. They're all praying in the Spirit. But praying in the tongues, that saying praying in the Spirit has always meant praying in tongues to me. That's what I hear when I hear I'm praying in the spirit. They're praying in the spirit. And see, so, okay, let me be just a little bit disclosure here. I grew up in a church that this was taught to be wrong, fake, something else, that speaking in tongues was not a real thing. It's something people did, and I was just told, try to stay away from it. And it may be a big part of the reason that I had so much anxiety even talking about it with you guys. Because I was, some of that stuff goes deep, man, when you've been taught something since you was little. I was taught that doing what I just did right there was a sin. And I know better now. So I had to investigate this. I learned that a lot of the things that I was taught was not 100% correct. Can I get an amen there? Now, I believe some of it was, and those people, and I was talking to my dad about this last night, and he said, for some of those people, that's the truth, and it works for them, and that's what they, and praise the Lord. Amen. But some of the stuff that I was taught kept me in bondage. And it wasn't until I got into AA and I was told, listen, get a relationship with God on your own, a God of your own understanding. And listen, and I've said this before, when I heard that, I thought it might be a sin to get a God of my own understanding. I'm supposed to believe what God is like I was told, like the preacher and my grandparents are. I was supposed to believe who God was by what they told me He was. And so when I came into AA and recovery, they said, listen, step three, get God of your own understanding. Then I read in the book that AA book where it says, you've got to be open-minded about religious stuff. Let me tell you where I'm from, there's no open-minded. No open-mindedness there where I'm from. This is the way it is, and everybody else is wrong, period. And so that's where I come from. So talking about the Holy Spirit and tongues and stuff, it's a little difficult for me. I did struggle with it through this week. But I prayed about it and asked God, I said, show me exactly where it is and what I need to read to get it straightened out in my brain. And so if you will look at 1 Corinthians 14, look at 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5, and of course I use the New Century Version, NIV, they all say about the same thing. But like I said, this is going to get a little bit deeper than I normally get because I'm just not that deep. But I had to really dig. I had to really dig at this. And so I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. And listen to some of the stuff that's said here, and I'll probably repeat it and make a comment on it. But verse 1, it says, you should seek love, and you should truly want to have the spiritual gifts. See, this is all talking about spiritual gifts. It said, you should truly want to have spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Remember that. The gift of prophecy. I will explain why. Those who have the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of speaking different languages, is what it says there. And if you look in different translations, some of the translations do say speaking in tongues. Some of them say speaking in different languages. Those who have the gift of speaking in different languages are not speaking to people. They're not speaking to people. They are speaking to God. No one understands them. They are speaking secret things through the Spirit. But those who prophesy are speaking to people to give them strength, encouragement, and comfort. The ones who speak in different languages are helping only themselves. But those who prophesy are helping the whole church. I wish all of you had the gift of speaking in different languages, different kinds of languages, speaking in tongues. But more, I wish you would prophesy. Those who prophesy are greater than those who can only speak in different languages unless someone is there who can explain what is said so the whole church can be helped. Okay, so in that scripture, I don't know if you was catching it, but it was talking about two specific gifts. The gift of prophecy, prophesying, and the gift of speaking in tongues. And so I needed to clear up in my head just exactly what prophecy is and prophesy. And so I Googled it. And simply, prophecy is prediction given to you by the Holy Spirit. It's a prediction. Here's what's to come. All right? And to prophesy is telling people that prediction. It's talking about it. All right? So, open your bulletin to the inside right-hand side. And there's a couple of things we're going to write down here. And this is out of that scripture. And once I got this written down in my head, I could really understand what we're talking about here. So, the gift of languages, praying in tongues. In verse 2, it says, they are not speaking to people. They are speaking to God. No one understands them. It's because they're speaking to God, no one understands them. It's a language that only God understands. Amen. They're not speaking. It also says, speaking secret things through the Spirit. That they're speaking secret things. No one understands them. They're speaking secret things through the Spirit. See? And they're helping themselves. It's a conversation between that person and God. Period. And it's a secret conversation. We're not going to understand what that person is saying. It sounds foreign to us. I can't understand what is being said. And the Bible says I won't understand it. This tells me that praying in tongues is between that person and God. It's a relationship there. It doesn't go this way. Now, the gift of prophecy, or prophesying, write this down, is telling people, the church, what God has revealed to you through the Holy Spirit. Teaching. So what if I got up here and I started speaking in tongues? None of y'all could understand. It helps no one. And so that's what the scripture is saying. When you speak or prophesy, speak the language of the people in the room. Because if you're speaking in tongues, it helps nobody. But whenever you are in prayer and it's a secret conversation between you and God, speak in tongues, and He understands, but no one else will. Start to get this figured out in my brain. We're talking about two different things. Because I've always heard, well, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't speak in tongues because unless you got somebody there to interpret it, well, that's if you're going to be prophesying, not praying in the Spirit. It's two different things. So once I got that in my head, I could understand it a little bit. Unless someone can explain what is said. That's 1 Corinthians 14:5. If you want to write that down. If you will go back and start at verse 1 and read that whole chapter, there's a lot more said about it. But that's the gist of it right there. It's two different things. When a person is praying in the Spirit or when they're trying to teach you to prophesy. And let me tell you, the reason that I bring this up
and I want to talk about it. Not, this whole message is not about speaking in tongues. But for me, the first time, one of the first times I had a real experience with someone speaking in tongues, it freaked me out a little bit. It kind of disturbed me. I'm like, oh, that's weird and stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you keep walking towards God and keep Jesus first and you keep meeting with other Christians, you're going to eventually be praying in the same room as someone who is speaking in tongues.
Yep.
You will. And I don't want you to get freaked out about it. Because what they're doing is having a private conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
You will not understand what they're saying. So, we were leading worship at Sunlight Missionary Baptist Church. It was a Sunday morning. And No Regrets was the name of the band. It's all the guys that used to play here all the time. And we'd go to other churches to lead worship. Well, Sunlight Missionary Baptist Church is the church that we use for Serenity Church Metro. And they met on Sunday morning, Sunlight Baptist Church met. They hired us to come in. Matter of fact, they didn't hire us. They just said, hey, can y'all come play? And we did. So we led worship for about 3 hours. We played 40, 50, 60 songs.
And amen.
We would finish a song and Pastor would go, come on, one more. Luckily, we've been together for a pretty good while. We had a pretty good arsenal of songs. We had a whole bunch of songs. And so we just kept playing until he decided it was time for him to preach. Then Pastor Ed gets up and he says, after he preached for about 20 minutes, now Pastor Ed, when he preaches, you can feel the spit coming out of the speaker. I mean, he's laying it down. So he's getting it, right? And the Holy Spirit's moving in the room, and I'm kind of, you know? And so he gets where he's kind of winding up. And he said, I want all the men to come down front. Come stand right here. Now, if you've been to Sunlight, you've seen the big giant, it's a big giant pulpit, and it's on a stage. And then the floor right here. So I was standing right in front of the pulpit. And he's standing right here. And I feel a little spit on the back of my neck. I've lost some sweat. But he said, okay, all you men, you get in here, get in tight and everything. We're going to pray the Spirit. We're going to call in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is about, but I'm standing right here. He goes, all you women, gather around. You women, gather around and get in here tight. We're going to call in the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray in the Spirit. Okay, all right. And he goes, all right, you ready to get it? Let's get it going. Shake gear started.
Amen.
Well, I don't know what I'm thinking. I just started praying. And I said, Lord Jesus, and that's about all I got. You couldn't hear me say another word after that. There was a man on this side of my hand, a man on this side, and these two guys just started vibrating. They started speaking in tongues. And they were shaking, and there was a lady who had to fall down, and she was speaking in tongues and stuff, and I didn't know what was going on. I was a little nervous. It's just weird. I've never experienced anything like this before. I looked across the way at one of my bandmates, and he's looking back at me with the same fear. And we just settled in and just went with it. But it was something that we didn't understand. We didn't understand it at all. And that's why I want to talk to you a little bit about it, is because, like I said, at some point in your walk, you're going to be praying with someone that speaks in tongues. And that's all it is. They're speaking in tongues. They're having a secret conversation with God. Now, let's move on a little bit. The Holy Spirit.
You hear people say, what is it? Have you got it? Have you got the Holy Spirit in you?
She's
bad. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is not a it. The Holy Spirit is a who.
Amen.
I'm going to write that down.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is a who. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, you can't know, if you know one, you know all three. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read this. John 14, 15 through 17. Let me read this real quick, and then I'm going to go somewhere else with it. This is Jesus talking. If you love me, you will obey my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you a helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it does not know him or see him. But you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you.
Amen.
If the Holy Spirit's an it, why don't you just say he and him? That tells me that the Holy Spirit is a who. Okay, and I mentioned the Trinity. That's another thing. It's really hard for people to understand. But it's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all people. They're all who? They're all he, him. Right?
Yeah.
And then Jesus said that I'm going to send you, when you accept me, when you keep my commands, when you make me your Lord and Savior, I will send you a helper. And he will be in you. Right? Okay? So then, it's God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit that is in you. All of a sudden, we're part of the Trinity. We're part of it. When Jesus places the Holy Spirit in you, you become part of God. You're part of the Holy Trinity. You don't think you're special. We get down on ourselves and now I'm a piece of crap. But do you love Jesus? Yeah. Well, then you're part of the Trinity. You're not a piece of crap. You're holy. You've been made righteous.
Amen.
Okay, so look at your bulletin. And I talked a little bit about speaking in tongues and how the Holy Spirit comes on you. And I got a question in the bulletin. I left it blank. But I want you to fill it in. How does the Holy Spirit reveal himself to you? How does the Holy Spirit manifest himself in you? I believe he shows up in different ways. I believe he shows up in different people in different ways. Last week, Will brought the message in, and we had a pretty good time of prayer. And right here in this spot, there was a circle of us. There was a circle over here, back over here, and then back. But for me, I was right here. Logan Williams was right beside me. Jesslyn on the other side, Mike on this side. I believe Casey and Zach, and there was a couple other people. And we held hands, and we started to pray. And Jesslyn started out praying first. And as soon as she kicked off praying, I hear Logan beside me speaking in tongues. He's having that secret conversation. He's praying. He's speaking in tongues. And she finishes praying. And I believe that he went next. And when he started to pray with us, he prayed in English. I could understand his prayer.
understood every word he said. He was praying for me, about me, praying for you, about you. And as soon as he was done, he went back to speaking in tongues. And then I prayed. And I looked down at the floor, and the floor was wet with my tears.
Yep.
Because that's how the Holy Spirit comes out of me. It's in tears. I start flowing. I don't know why. I can't hold it back even if I try. It comes out in tears. I know for other people, the Holy Spirit comes out in goosebumps. Oh, I just felt something. I've heard that before. For some people, it's just a feeling. Have you ever heard this? Gosh, that was an awesome service. What a worship service. Did you feel the Spirit in the room?
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling.
Yes.
That's how the Holy Spirit reveals himself to you. That's how he manifested in your life. It's a feeling. Right? So, on page 63 in the AA Big Book, I found this and I was like, holy word. It tells us right here. It says, we had a new employer, God. And let's go back to that last scripture I read. Jesus says, when you employ me, when you make me your Lord and Savior, I'm going to send you a helper, okay? We had a new employer, Jesus. Being all-powerful, he provided what we need. We kept close to him and performed his work well. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed life, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we become conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and hereafter. We were reborn.
Amen.
Let's go back. I highlighted it as soon as I saw it. As we felt new power flow in. What's that power?
Holy Spirit.
What is that power that you feel flowing in? You just made Jesus your new employer.
Yes.
He just said, if you keep my commands, make me your Lord and Savior, and you're going to receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The AA book says it like this. We had a new employer, all powerful, and we felt new power flow in. It's the Holy Spirit. Then what happens? We were reborn. Our life starts over. So, the Bible says it like this. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. Galatians 5:22-25, listen to this. But the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of love.
Joy.
Peace.
Patience.
Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. There is no law that says these things are wrong. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified, or have crucified their own sinful selves. They have given up their old selfish feelings and the evil things they want to do. We get our new life from the Spirit. We were born again, what the AA book said. We get our new life from the Spirit, so we should follow the Spirit. Okay, so we talked about how the Holy Spirit manifests in your life, how he reveals himself in your life. And this scripture says that Holy Spirit produces fruit. Love. Let me tell you, I didn't have these things before. Before I made Jesus my new employer, I didn't have these things. I thought I knew what love was. I thought I knew what love was. Joy. You know, I just thought I knew what joy was. I didn't have it. Peace. There was absolutely no peace. Kindness. Oh, I'm a good old boy. Not that kind of kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness.
faithfulness. Let me tell you, there was no faithfulness. Generous, and there absolutely was no self-control.
No.
None. But I have a new one for you. And the Holy Spirit reveals himself in me in the way I can see it. I feel it. I love differently. I have joy in my life. I have peace in my life. I have patience. I have kindness. I have goodness. I have faithfulness. I have gentleness. And a little measure of self-control. I have those things.
Is that true?
Through the Holy Spirit. That's how he reveals himself in my life. It comes out in tears. Some people it comes out in tongues. Some people it comes out in goosebumps. Or you feel the hair on the back of your neck standing up. It's a feeling. The Holy Spirit's in you that you are part of the Trinity now. Man wants to come back up. Johnny, get ready to sing us on out of here. I want you to listen to this. If you want the Holy Spirit to lead your life and walk by the Spirit, it's a conscious choice you need to make every day.
Yes.
Pray that the Lord will fill you with his Spirit.
Yes.
It's going to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let him lead your life, and he puts the helper in you. Pray that you would walk by the Spirit and he then be ready to obey. Ready to obey. We've been this past year talking about the power of prayer. There's so many different aspects of prayer. And each individual person has their own personal relationship with God and Jesus. I don't have time to judge people on how they grow.
Amen.
That's a relationship between you and God. Let me tell you, you are part of God. He has placed the Holy Spirit in you.
Yes.
You have the power. We're powerless before that. Powerless. We accept Jesus as our Savior. He has the power. He sent to help us. He gives us power to overcome anything. Y'all go ahead and pray with me. Help us, Lord, prayer. We all need Jesus is Lord.
Help us, Lord.
To be the church for the broken and the powerless.
Help us, Lord.
To be bold about the name of Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
To be grateful for the blessings and the struggles.
Thy will be done. Amen.
Amen.
I used to do the slides. I used to create them. I can do it.
Would you stand? Let's worship. Sing out the song. Say amen. Ask God to lead us. Be led by His Spirit. To know His will.
This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I only trust you, even when I can't see it. And even suffering, I have to believe.
1 Corinthians 1:29. Nine, our whole attitude and outlook on life will have changed so that I might live for God. Galatians 2:19. 10, fewer people with economic insecurity will be blessed so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1:4. 11, you will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke 1:4. 12, you will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, so that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:18. Are these extravagant promises? They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Let this family represent that together we can do what none of us could do alone. With whose help?
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Keep on that, works if you're working. I want to know.